And welcome back to another episode of A Freaky Friday. I'm your host, Jacob Pasterfield, sitting once again in the beautiful Frequency Winery here in Kelowna, BC. It is January 11th, 2019. So we've got a pretty numerologically epic day. We've got a 111 mirror portal, and for any of you folks who love geeking out on astrology and numerology as much as I do, it's a pretty potent day. And esoterically speaking, days like this are considered portals where the transmission of light and energy is more intensified than usual. So I felt pretty excited that it fell on a Freaky Friday, and it also fell on my 7th episode of Freaky Friday. So we've got the awesome magical quality of 7 plus a 111 portal. So whether or not that means anything to you, it doesn't really matter too much. It's just a lot of cool stuff that I get to geek out on. And if you are into it, then dig on in. But for this podcast, I'm focusing on the gongs. I decided that I would do something a little bit different, so I created a gong meditation that I will be releasing later today as well as a kind of separate part. But this little preamble here is going to kind of set the tone for what the gong meditation is about and what the intention behind creating a gong meditation was for. So I have always really loved gongs. Ooh, that's a lie. That's not true. I actually used to really, really not like gongs. I'm a drummer. I've been drumming in bands for years and years and years and years. I identify as a drummer, I guess I should say, because it's not the only instrument I play, but it's definitely the one that's probably the closest to my heart. And my introduction to gongs had been through rock and roll bands playing them so wrong. Gongs are such beautiful, and like, they're not delicate. I mean, they're made out of bronze for the most part, but they need to be played delicately because if people just hit them and crash them, the vibrations that they release are so intense that it's almost destructive. And not in the fun, like, Kalima kind of destructive way, in the just kind of abrasive and harmful, unnecessary way. So I really, really didn't like gongs for a very long time, but when I was in school in San Francisco for sound healing, one of my teachers, Lisa Lippincott, who goes by the name of Gongster, she taught me about gong baths and the mythology and symbolism behind the gong. And it just kind of opened a whole new avenue of appreciation and understanding for what gongs are. And now I've kind of adopted them as one of my primary modes of sound healing sessions. I'm very, very fond of receiving and giving gong baths and sound baths. And the gong is this really beautiful element that has these wonderful overtones and undertones and these kind of waves that come in these pulsations. And it becomes very meditative and it becomes very deep very quickly. And I find them very wonderful for releasing and for clearing and to kind of shake up all that stuck energy that's been residing within them bones. So there's also another Chinese myth that I don't know where I heard, but it's always stuck with me and always been something that I find really, really interesting. And the myth is that you can hear all of the sounds of creation in the gong. And that's something that I thought was pretty cool. If there's one thing that can contain all of the sounds that exists, for me, that's a pretty fun avenue of exploration. So the reason why I kind of did all this is we're into 2019 here. We're into a whole new year, and it's wonderful to see all of these old paradigms and patterns start to dissolve as people kind of come in tune to a much more evolved state of living and a much more evolved kind of human being. And so as I did this recording, I recorded it from 1 o'clock until 1:11. So the gong meditation is about 11 minutes long, and I felt I really just kind of wanted to use that time specifically to kind of take advantage of this cool little cosmic window of the 111 on January 11th here. So when I did the meditation and I recorded the gong here at Frequency, my intention was for kind of clearing and for releasing and for giving away. And I felt that it would be kind of cool to share a little bit of the mythos before, so you folks can kind of really understand kind of a lot of where the importance of this gong meditation or gong meditations in general, where it kind of stems from. So I've been doing a ton of research, and as you all know, I'm very fond of mythos and mythology. It's kind of like catnip for my brain box. I'm nom 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 nom. I just eat it up. I can't get enough. So it was really cool to dig into the mythology behind gongs, because no one really understands or knows where they came from. They're just kind of a thing that was there. A lot of people believe it originated in the East, in China and Tibet. A lot of people believe it originated from the Bronze Age in Greece. And I don't know. I'm not really sure where exactly they come from. It's said no one knows. It's said that information is lost and that gongs have been present for so long. It doesn't really even matter where they came from. They just kind of were there hanging out with creation, I guess. But I haven't found any conclusive evidence as to the exact origins. But it's really believed that they probably originated around the Bronze Age, from about 3500 BC to 2000 BC. And the majority of mythos lead to the gong being a sort of sun disk. And so the sun disk, I'm sure you folks can all think of the Egyptian deities. They almost always, the royalty and the higher echelon of their gods would have a sun disk over their head at all times. And so a lot of belief stemmed that this came from maybe even pre-Egyptian and maybe even Babylonian and Assyrian sun worship, or any agricultural cultures who worshiped the sun as a deity, as a means for their production of food. So it's also believed that it was probably a struck shield, and that it kind of was representative as a form of protection. And so they would strike this shield and those sound vibrations would offer them extra protection. So there's another kind of Grecian hint that said that it was gongs might have been discovered by accident, because way back in the day they would cook things in their oven, and primarily they would cook with tin in these ancient Grecian ovens. And eventually, as their technology and science evolved, they started to increase the temperature so that they could include copper to come into to bake with in these ovens. Oh, sorry, not copper, bronze. And so they would have tin and bronze, and all these little pieces of bronze and tin would melt down onto the bottom of these ovens. And eventually, after a long period of time, they would collect into this little disc at the very bottom of the oven. So one day, some Grecian baker was cleaning out his oven and found this giant bronze and tin circle. And he struck it, and apparently that is one of the mythos, the origins of the gong. Some also say that it originated from a meteorite that was rich in different kinds of ore. As it struck the earth, it created a large bang, and that bang became this really representative concept of the sound and the sound worship that came behind these gongs. And so they went and checked out this meteorite little crater that was created. And apparently it left a convex disc after the impact. And so that then came from the heavens. And so there's all this mythological and spiritual connections to these meteorites. So no one really knows. These are just a bunch of cool stories for you to kind of draw upon and to kind of tickle your brain boxes with. But it's really interesting. I don't know about the meteorite thing. They say that's how water got onto this planet too, but it seems a little convenient that everything kind of came from meteorites, but I'm not going to ramble off into meteorites too much. So the sun deity, these sun disks or these shields or these gongs kind of represented a divine object of protection. In Greece, the word that they used to describe these was salos, And in China, it was Sha Lo. So there was the translation of kind of both, very, very roughly translated, means to be moving or to be shaken. And the Grecians used these gongs as a form of ritual noise to worship the god, worship and praise the god Dionysius. So I think one of the coolest myths that I found as I was doing some research here was the gong has been linked to Crete Island around 3200 BC. There are all these cave depictions and these cave drawings of Zeus and the original creation of Zeus. And so it's said that there's a mountain on the Crete island called Mount Dicte, which where Zeus was born. And when Zeus was born, there was this group of entities. They weren't really like gods. They were kind of these demigods. They were these daemons. They were these pre-primordial existent figures and entities that kind of existed. And they weren't kind of some of the original, you know, figures, but they were just kind of around and just kind of present. And they were called the Idaean Dactyls or the Curetes Dactyls. And these entities, they protected Zeus while he was being born, because Zeus's father, Cronos, or Saturn, the god of time, anytime a child was created, he would eat them. Which, you know, I mean, I'm not here to judge parenting techniques, but so to prevent Zeus from being eaten, these Idaean Dactyls were using these giant shields or these gongs. And what they would do was, as Zeus was crying after he was being born, these protecting entities made so much noise with these gongs that it hid and it masked the crying of little baby Zeus, who even in the cave depictions apparently was born as an adult with a giant beard. So, I mean, if I were to have a kid and he came out as an adult, I would probably be pretty upset or at least a little confused, but I don't know if I would go so far as to eat him. But what ended up happening was these Idaean Dactyls protected him. And so this shield or this gong kind of became the image for the holy palladium, which was a symbol of protection. And there's a whole bunch of mythological stories. Homer wrote with the Iliads and the Eleusinian Mysteries, and there's a whole bunch of really, really cool stories. So if you folks are mythology junkies like I am, it's a fun little rabbit hole. I would invite you folks to kind of dig on down through. So there's a lot of cool kind of creation stories behind where the gong came from, but these gongs are just super, super ancient. And ritualistically, they were predominantly used as a mean to release fears. And they were used a lot in funerals. And so they would strike these gongs to kind of help everyone come to terms with their fears of death. And so it became a very important societal representation of release and of moving on and of moving forward. And the Pythagoreans related the gong to the music of the spheres. And so the music of the spheres is a very, very, very important concept. But we're going to leave that for a whole other day, because I don't even want to crack that can of worms yet, because you folks will have to hang out here for hours if we're going to start that. So the music of the spheres was based on the harmony of the motion of the celestial bodies and the seasons and all aspects of nature. And that the humming of the spheres or the music of the spheres constituted the language that existed between the gods, spirits, and humanity. And so Pythagoras once heard the sound of a gong, and he traveled out of his body, and he considered that this music of the spheres was essential for the exhalation, and the purification of the human soul. So the word gong is very closely related to om, 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 that initial sound of creation. And a lot of the modern gongs, especially the air gongs from the East in China, usually have two symbols on them. And one of those symbols is Tai and the other is Loi. And roughly, again, sorry for my poor translations, but very roughly this translation means the good has come. The Indonesians used a word called sacrum to represent the gongs, which stems from the Sanskrit word wheel or chakra. So these circles and these discs have had a very large representation in a whole bunch of different cultures. And the disc itself, you know, the humming of the spheres and this cyclical symbolism that keeps looping around, pun intended, has a lot of different connotations. The sun discs would represent the presence of the divine creator, the one, and that's what it represented a lot in Egypt, is they were connected to the sun and the star Sirius. It also has connections to the circle of life, and the circle is a complete system. It has no beginning and it has no end, and this cycle and this circle represents the seasons. It represents the phases through growth of our lives as we start as a child and then back into old age. It represents the seasons. It represents the solstice and the equinox. It represents pi, and it represents the degrees of a circle. And a lot of the Chinese have actually mapped out the 360 degrees on a gong, and they use specific points and they hit it with specific timbres and they hit the gong with specific mallets in these specific places, and they have been known to use it as a form of almost sonic acupuncture. This also coincides with the tarot card, The World, or for you alchemical aficionados out there, this has a very close representation to the Ouroboros. Yogi Bhajan is a very important figure in yoga, and he is fundamental in bringing Kundalini yoga from the east to the west. And Kundalini yoga has a very, very deep connection to the gong as well. And I found this Yogi Bhajan quote that spoke to me really deeply, and I think it really sets the mood and the tone for the gong meditation that will follow after this little preamble here. So Yogi Bhajan said, "The gong is the spirit song. It is the primal whisper of the soul. Its sound is the echo of the original word that created the world, the sound within all sounds. Listen with inner and outer ears. You will become fearless, relaxed, and awakened." So, pretty beautiful quote. It's pretty wild to me how much emphasis and importance has been placed on a giant metal circle. So my love for gongs has been growing and increasing steadily and steadily, and the more I get into it, the more I learn about it, the more worlds open up for me. If you folks have ever had the opportunity to participate into a gong bath or a sound bath using a lot of gongs, I would highly recommend it. Some of my favorite experiences happen during sound baths with a lot of gongs. One of the things that I find really fun when I listen to gongs is you kind of listen to the waves, the kind of the ebbs and the flows, and you'll hear certain sounds that will come back with these slower waves that'll come in and out. And if this is the first time you've ever done a gong meditation, I would encourage you to pay attention to the sounds that stick out to you and follow them, and let them lead you to different parts of yourself that maybe need a little intention, or that maybe you could use a little bit of assistance in clearing through maybe some old patterns or some, you know, improper mindsets, or maybe even a little bit of traumatic release in very comfortable and very safe ways. The gong has always represented safety and protection. So with this gong meditation on my January 11th cosmic portal, we'll call it, I really just hope that this gong meditation will help rejuvenate your nervous system, help calm you down, help you return to that inner center of yourself. The gong can create strength, peace, and healing. I hope to connect you with the heartbeat of the soul and connect you to your own inner rhythms, and to tie the thread of existence to itself and to create the circle of infinity and the circle of infinite love that exists. Gongs are amazing because with them you can clear away old patterns and old paradigms, and with the gong, you can release all that does not serve you any longer. You can give up all of the density and everything that's been holding you back and dragging you down, and you can give it to the gong vibrations, and they'll piggyback on those gong vibrations back to source or back into infinity or whatever vibrations do when they leave our existence. And I really just hope that you kind of go through this gong meditation, and when you come out the other side, you get to be reborn. You get to be a new you. You get to step forward into this new year with this new understanding, and you get to leave behind all of the things that have been preventing you from actualizing your truest and most authentic self, and from not sitting within the beauty that you are, and from not realizing the power that you've had all along. So thanks again for tuning in. The gong bath will be posted on the on my link to the rest of my podcasts. I usually do it through Anchor FM. You can also find it on Spotify and a bunch of other places. So I really hope that you folks enjoy. Thanks again for tuning in. I hope you folks have an amazing weekend or week or month or year and lifetime. I hope you folks are surrounded by good people, good vibes, and good times with intellectually stimulating company, as well as maybe some beauty to look upon. I wish you all the best. Thanks again for tuning in, and please let me know what you folks think of this gong bath. You can feel free to send me an email to kumbayama@gmail.com or jacobpastorfield@gmail.com. Thanks again, guys. I love you lots. Take care of yourselves. Bye for now.